is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
First of all, fellas, welcome. How are you this morning? Brian Cook, Ed Fang. You fellas are good?
I've been suspended without pay for 3 podcasts.
You have? What about you, Ed?
I'm my own boss, so I didn't suspend myself.
So, mgoblog.com, the power rank. And then you guys can join me in unison in telling our guest on the phone, I told you so. Because I think all three of us, when this unpaid leave, unpaid suspension first took place, we said, hey, they are not going to fire Urban Meyer. And there was one holdout in the panel.
The president's a serious guy that gave
Ohio State the benefit of the doubt because of the new president.
The president's a serious guy.
He's a serious guy. That was his quote. And I'm talking about Craig Ross, who joins us this morning from Seattle. Well, Craig, how are you?
I'm doing fine. My role on this show is to always be wrong. And I was certainly wrong about this one. I really was hopeful that Drake wouldn't allow this kind of continuing dog and pony show to go on. But I couldn't have been wronger. And the press conference was pathetic. another complete blowout for OSU on press conferences.
To be fair, I am surprised in retrospect that he kept his job.
You're surprised in retrospect?
Because of all the stuff that has come out after the press conference, like they release all these documents, and like the first step Urban Meyer does is he goes and deletes all its texts over a year old. Like your first step in this investigation is to destroy evidence. Like if I mean, Craig was wrong. But I might have predicted the same thing Craig did if I knew what was going to be in these documents. They seem beyond damning.
So it's definitely suspicious behavior, right?
Suspicious behavior.
It's suspicious behavior.
This stuff comes out, and you're like, "Oh, I got to get rid of all my texts."
No, yeah, it's but that's
a firing offense.
You're right.
A firing offense.
Right, you're right. But if you're inclined to keep him. Then that offers you plausible deniability because we don't really know what was there. We question why he would do this. It's awfully suspicious and suggestive, but
is there a button that
we can't say that he did that those would do or would depict any wrongdoing on his part. It gives you plausible deniability. That's what this whole thing was about, saying that he has these memory issues that are exacerbated by medication.
They don't have plausible deniability. I don't find any of that plausible, and nobody on Twitter did last night either.
You know what? To that point, you're right. Plausible deniability to whom? I mean, because you don't need to offer that to your supporters. Are you trying to offer it to the outside world to mitigate what we're seeing?
I mean, the only person you really care about here who aren't already on Team Buckeye Nation are recruits' families. That's it. And unless Ohio State has a major recruiting bust after this, which they will not, nobody will face any consequences.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Is it comes down to recruits' families. And if they don't care, nobody will care.
And if you listen to the recruiting roundup this morning, I read the response from the mother of one of their recruits. It's like this was a bilaterally toxic relationship with both sides. And that the only victims here are the kids, and Urban Meyer did the right thing. And at what point did he do the right thing?
Never.
He lied at every turn. So you're absolutely right. Anyone with standards that would uphold their integrity, they would have let him go. But they were looking for that plausible deniability. And in this case, that was he had these amazing memory issues. That if his memory issues are as pronounced as they said, how can he coach a team?
How can he drive a car?
If he can't remember a conversation from 12 hours prior that involved a directive from his boss on how to address it, to explicitly acknowledge events in 2009 and 2015. And then he gets out there and he can't remember any of it.
Well, I mean, I think looking back at it, it comes down to this. They weren't going to fire him if they didn't have to.
Of course.
And they didn't have to. And that's the bottom line.
They did have to.
They clearly didn't.
I feel like the steps that he took, the way he handled it, I just feel like that's, you got to fire that guy. I feel like correct. You got to fire that guy because.
But you also just.
Art, because what? Because
it's Art Briles level stuff. Like there's, this is really terrible. And he's supporting the abuse of a woman. Full stop.
See, but you the difference is in the Briles case, you actually had charges there. And so what they would say is there are no charges here that were ignored.
I don't think you need charges.
I agree with you.
Zach Smith behavior has been so well documented.
Brian, I agree with you. Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I would think that the public relations, like, that's, I mean, they're just CYA. I would just think that the way that this got handled would be a firing offense. But apparently, Ohio State University has no shame.
How many times have I said that? You can't shame someone who has none. I thought their exposure, and we can go to our attorney on this, the one place where I thought they could really get hung up is if this secretary that he had this sexual relationship with, Craig, if she either had a grievance or she was greedy, if she were to come forward and say, hey, this is a case of harassment, that's exposure like you wouldn't believe. Now, there are no signs that she was looking to do that, but that would be a huge problem for them, would it not?
Yeah, it would. And I think there's some other potential liabilities here still from Courtney Smith. If she it's at least plausible that she could file some action against Ohio State. Whether she will or not, it doesn't seem like it, but I think there's some potential causes of action. I found the press conference to be just remarkable in at least three respects. One was this one. As opposed to apologizing to Courtney Smith, he says, I am sorry we are in this situation.
And not to Courtney Smith, to the Buckeye Nation. He just completely ignored the victim.
Right. He ignores the victim. I mean, I assume that's what he means. I am sorry we are in this situation. Not he's sorry that, you know, what Courtney Smith has endured, not anything else, but that he's in this situation because he is the victim.
Well, and he was able to remember that line from his PR guy.
Yeah. And
2 hours before.
Right. And the other one that was noteworthy, I mean, there was much, but was that while his stories weren't accurate, while his denials weren't accurate, they weren't deliberate or intentional lies. And I'm not quite sure exactly what that one means. Yeah, I lied to you, but it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't deliberate.
I'm not even sure who could take this thing. I mean, this was sort of like the old Tressel press conference when they were yucking it up on whether Meyer or whether Tressel was going to fire the president, G. Gordon G. at the time. So it's a pathetic show. He's continuing now to go back to the fact he was unaware of the text between Courtney Smith and his wife, which is, of course, preposterous.
Which, and they acknowledged that in the report. They're like, come on.
Right.
The committee didn't even buy that.
And of course, Meyer is still in denial that this is an appropriate punishment, even three games. He couldn't say, yeah, I guess I deserve it, but no, it's, you know, well, I got to live with it, essentially.
Well, you could hear that in his tone. You could hear and see that he did not want to read that statement. I don't think he wrote that statement. So
yeah, no, I don't think so either. So anyway.
Maybe we should just give Ohio State credit for suspending him through the TCU game, huh?
No. I don't know who they were looking to. I don't know who they were looking to appease there, like the mother of that recruit who's out. Let me read it again. I just got to read it again. Read it again. What she said. This is the mother of Harry Miller, who is the center offensive guard from Buford, which is a Christian Turner's school. But she said, quote, I can see how the situation is weighed on Harry by just looking at him. I hate to see it. Bottom line, Urban did what he was supposed to do. I'm not really sure what to think just yet. Coach Meyer did what he was supposed to do, so it seems like 3-game suspension is more of a PR move. I wish they would have spoken on the validity. I wish they would have spoken more on the validity of Courtney Smith's claims. It appears the Smiths had a bilaterally toxic and dysfunctional relationship. The real victims here are the Smith children. Also, I'm not sure how OSU would investigate domestic violence claims better than the Powell police. I support Coach Meyer, and I hope the situation doesn't make him rethink his longevity at OSU. It's definitely a conversation we'll have at the appropriate time.
That woman is a bad person. That is a bad person. And if you send your football player to Ohio State, you're a bad person. At least as long as Urban Meyer is there. That's a bad person.
Well, I mean, I would say the one thing she says is true is that the 3-game suspension is a PR move.
Her point is, though, why are you giving him a 3-game suspension? He doesn't deserve that. And that's why I say, who are you looking to appease with this 3-game suspension? It doesn't speak. You don't need to speak.
I think there are people who are better people who have children who are football players than that woman. God damn.
I mean, you had to do the 3-game suspension to make it makes you look better.
That is exactly why women do not come forward. Exactly that.
You're right.
There would just be more of a storm if he was suspended for no games. That's why they had to do it.
How would there be more of a storm?
I don't think there would be.
There would be.
No, there wouldn't.
This is going to blow over in a couple days, and we're going to get on with football, and we're going to forget about this whole thing. Maybe not you guys.
But the national
attention about it is going to blow over, and if they hadn't suspended him, that might not have been the case.
Brian mentioned a couple of things here. I think the media will persist with their more accurate characterization of Urban Meyer moving forward. He's always been a liar. But we saw an example of the failure to acknowledge that when the initial questioning about this occurred at the Big Ten Media Day. They should have been all over him. There was one guy that was all over this, and that was Brett McMurphy. But the others that can really make him pay, because they don't care what the media says, or they would have been more stringent than 3 games. Recruits. He is absolutely right. Is there a consequence when it comes to recruiting?
And that's why he's still head coach.
And if you feel it there, then that will move the meter. Otherwise, man, they've already said they don't care about the example that he sets for their student athletes. If a student athlete comes and lies, and when confronted with the lie, says, "Well, I just forgot what happened," you can't punish that guy severely when you didn't punish the head coach. They've already acknowledged that standard and accepted that standard. So they don't care about that.
Yeah.
It's only about the bottom line. So wins, that's on the table. They get the wins. Can they continue to get the recruits? If they feel it there, then that will affect things.
But, it doesn't seem like it's going to affect the recruits at all. So,
yep.
It's TBD, of course, but.
Her comment, though, that it was a woman, that's what really struck me. And of all the statements that, because they talked to all the parents, and they are similar.
They talk to all the parents?
Well, most of the parents of the kids who they had talked to. So it was, they talked to like 7 or 8 kids, and 7 or 8 are their parents. So far, anyway. We got to get to a break. Get to more of your phone calls, emails, and tweets on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. We're back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Live here inside the MDN studios with Ed Fang from the Power Rank. Ed, welcome back.
Thanks.
We have Brian Cook from MGo Blog. Brian, you calm down, any?
No.
She still got you fired. You'll be more fired up when you.
I don't.
You will be when you.
Dangerous of waters here. Jump button ready?
We have Craig Ross on the phone as well from Seattle. So
jump button always ready.
I read the commentary from the mother of Harry Miller, the 4-star offensive lineman from Buford, Georgia, where she said it was a bilaterally toxic relationship and the victims here are the kids. And Urban Meyer did the right thing. No acknowledgement of if you, like I was saying, Ed, in break, if you assign credibility to both parties, there's no question based on his track record of behavior, you assign most of it to Courtney Smith. You've got to find her even by default. You know,
but people say she's crazy, Sam.
That's the whisper campaign. But think about what Shelley Meyer, Urban Meyer's wife, how she has dealt with this throughout. Back in 2015, she was exchanging these messages with Courtney Smith, saying, I'm with you. I feel for you. He's dangerous. I'm concerned. She calls the police department. But in the report, they say, well, she found issues with Courtney's credibility, so she didn't tell her husband. That's why she didn't tell her husband, because she thought that these issues weren't credible. But she thought they were credible enough to call the police. But then, fast forward, guys, to the night Zach Smith is fired. After Urban Meyer sends the message out to his staff saying, we got to support Zach, don't say anything about about his track record, Shelley Meyer sends Urban Meyer a text message at 7:35 that night. And says, quote, I'm worried about Zach's response. He drinks a lot, and I'm just not sure how stable he will be. I'm afraid he'll do something dangerous. It's obvious he has anger and rage issues already. So when did these anger and rage issues manifest? When did we find out about these? Is this just
probably
all of a sudden?
Long time ago.
Exactly. And so she very clearly is assigning some very, very serious character issues to Zach Smith right there. She's been supportive of Courtney Smith all along. It seemed to me that someone right in his own house is assigning more credibility to Courtney Smith than Urban Meyer is. And by extension, Ohio State. And if you're and to get back on point, if you're the mother of a recruit, I would think that would speak to you.
I wonder why Meyer resigned from Florida. I wonder, like, what happened there?
He doesn't remember.
Like,
health issues, Brian.
Health issues. Medicines, he doesn't remember anymore.
Well, he remembers things that didn't happen. He just can't remember things that did. Like, so he remembered in 2009 that, after Zach Smith and Courtney Smith, so she called the police, he was arrested. Urban Meyer said, well, I sat down, I met with Courtney Smith and Zach. And they said, what was alleged initially didn't really happen. And Courtney recanted. Courtney Smith said, I never met with Urban Meyer. I never recanted. Zach Smith said, no, yeah, she didn't. I met with Urban. She didn't meet with Urban. And so what the committee in the report says, oh, yeah. So what we believe happened is he met with Zach Smith, not Courtney Smith. So Urban is suddenly remembering something in 2009 that didn't happen. But in 2015, when he was made aware of a police investigation, he can't remember that. And he can't remember when 12 hours before media day, when his boss gives him explicit instructions to acknowledge knowledge of the events in 2015.
He had no idea. And 2009 is when he supposedly suggested that they get counseling, right?
Which he arranged the counseling, I guess. Maybe
no,
he had
just
hand
suggested
in that,
it.
But he didn't meet with Courtney Smith like he said he did, and she didn't recant like he said she did.
Why did Ohio State release this report? I mean, this is
they had no choice. They had to release a report because it would have been FOIA'd.
You got to read it, Ed.
You want me to send you home with the printed copy I have?
yeah. I'll take that.
Should have pulled the Michigan State and had an informal report from Hamilton Pepper, the law firm that covers up stuff for big organizations.
Well, why cover it up when you don't have to?
I guess.
Wow. I mean, Craig was about to say something.
Go ahead, Craig.
No, I thought that the original story from Urban Meyer was that he and his wife did counseling of Zach and Courtney Smith. So
I got that from the original McMurphy.
That was 09. That was in 09.
Right. And I got that from the original McMurphy report. That they did the counseling. They suggested that
they sent them to counseling. Right.
Just suggested that this couple go get counseling.
Correct.
But he never met with Courtney Smith. He never met with her. Saying that he did, he never met with her. Let's go to the phone to 734-998-1050. Talk to a coach. This coach helped me get through my first 5K. Ron Horst with us this morning. Coach, how you doing?
Just fine, Sam. I've been listening to the Urban Meyer debacle. And I thought of something. If a young man who's enrolled or going to be enrolled real soon at Ohio State during the spring or the fall games practices, and his mom has been in an abusive situation in her life, and the boy was part of it, being involved in it, and they're really upset and pissed with Ohio State and the way Urban Meyer has been lying and stuff, and the kid decides he wants to transfer out of there. Do you think the NCAA would cause a waiver, or the kid be eligible to transfer at that point, or any of the other kids on the team that don't want to play, their parents are upset and say, I don't want my son to play, or you know, be a part of a situation like that with all the lying and the lack of concern for women's abuse on the line?
That's interesting.
That's a great question.
That is a great. So, you know,
great point.
Yeah, when we kind of talk, and thanks a lot for raising that topic, Coach, because you guys aware of what's going on in Texas A&M?
Yes.
Yeah, so in case you're our follower, there's a guy that's looking to transfer from Texas A&M to Arizona. Right, so he can play for Kevin Sumlin. He claims that the reasons that he's leaving are multiple. One, that they're funding unofficial visits, like they're giving money, to hosts and to recruits on official visits to help, you know, help them have a more festive time. He also alleges that they are handling injury issues wrong. He had an ankle injury that he said they were pushing him on that they shouldn't have been. He said that it's a toxic environment, the way that they,
it's a football team.
So that gets to how you're pushing an athlete who is injured. And he said they're having improper summer workouts. So they're making involuntary workouts, or making voluntary workouts involuntary. And so he's putting all this out in his petition for immediate eligibility. The guy who's leading that case is Thomas Mars. Thomas Mars, who was Shea Patterson's attorney and the attorney for all the Ole Miss guys who raised the impropriety at Ole Miss as grounds for their leaving. And so the suggestion here is that, hey, maybe Texas A&M is going to – maybe they're going to get hit with some violations here. I want to leave in advance of them getting hit for that kind of behavior. So could a parent say, hey, we feel like the conduct here is going to raise greater scrutiny and ultimately involve some penalty moving forward that might include the firing of Urban Meyer? I would think that would be a reasonable case to make.
Yeah. I have the feeling that the NCAA is going to try to shut this down. Because if you remember how the Patterson case actually resolved, they changed what was happening because the NCAA passed a rule that allowed waivers. They'd cut waivers out. And so this was some extraordinary rendition for Patterson. And they're like, no, let's pass this rule. And then Ole Miss was like, it's cool with us. And the Mars document didn't actually get accepted by the NCAA. The two schools just kind of worked around it to get Patterson eligible without actually having that document.
Yes. So this is my, we'll call it my opinion.
Okay.
On how this went down.
That's a good thing.
All right. So we'll call it my opinion. But there was Michigan's initial submission that detailed his grievance, right? His grievance with Ole Miss. And then you might recall Ole Miss, you could either support it, you could oppose it, or
not say anything.
Not say anything, and they opposed, right? So now you need a rebuttal, you need more information, more detail,
right?
And at this point, my opinion is Shea Patterson.
Put it all on the table.
Yeah. Put it all. My opinion is that.
Yeah.
And that
just
upon
the shape of what happened.
Upon seeing the breadth of this report and talking about it with Ole Miss and with Shea, it's like, look, let's get this worked out. This is my opinion. This is my opinion now. Let's get this worked out. Ira did it. Okay, it's gone. So we'll get Craig Ross back on. Let's get this worked out. Ole Miss is not going to oppose it. We'll get this done. Now, they were concerned about the precedent, to your point,
right,
that it would set. But my response to that was, this is the kind of precedent you want set, right?
Well,
wouldn't this make coaches more reluctant to you know, exhibit some of this behavior?
We have to stop looking at the NCAA as an organization that tries to stop the behavior, and then actually is an organization that encourages and supports it.
Right.
And we the NCAA has no meaningful penalties for any of this stuff, and so it's just a fig leaf to cover for the fact that half the Big Ten is coached by people who shouldn't be in charge of kindergartners, let alone 85 college-age men.
I guess my point is I think Coach Warhurst raises legitimate ground. I mean, I think you would have a legitimate case that you could, if you could present to the NCAA your belief that the conduct that's laid out in this report, the possibility of further consequences coming from this, if, say, for instance, hypothetically, the woman, the secretary, files some sort of grievance, you could be hit. Or, like he said, you're just upset with the complete overlooking of alleged domestic abuse. I mean, right. Your own wife is questioning how stable this guy is, but you're not.
Right.
If that's a problem for a kid, can you present that to the NCAA as grounds? I think it's worth a shot.
Well, I mean, there's also the timing issue, too, that this breaks on August 1st and we're already into camp. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, what are you petitioning for? That you can immediately go to another team, even though you've been in this camp for Ohio State? I think the timing of that process just makes it infeasible that that's going to happen.
Honestly, I think it's nobody cares. That's just nobody within the Ohio State community actually cares. That's it.
Oh, that's true.
That's all.
But we knew that.
But like that includes the players. So like nobody's going to like pull a trigger and move away. No recruit's going to be like, nah, I'm not going to do this because they don't care. And that's just the long and short of it. And it's depressing, but that's look at the evidence in front of your face.
I mean, I don't think anyone is leaving Ohio State because of this, but I think it's plausible at least that a couple of recruits might say, you know, I don't like it. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't want to be a part of Ohio State. I think it's certainly possible that some kids may shy away, at least in the short term. But
I mean,
that's about it.
I think it's easier to do that if you actually haven't made your decision yet publicly. Mm-hmm. If you haven't come to the decision that you're part of this team, you're a part of Buckeye Nation. Who were apologized to three times in that press conference to zero for Courtney Smith. Sorry, Buckeye Nation. Grown-ass men in jerseys.
Women, too. That's the thing. Well, that was,
yeah.
I guess that's the thing that strikes me more is how prevalent the support of Ohio State women seems to be. I mean, I guess we see a sample kind of space, but it feels like it's prevalent.
Now, when you're on the team, man, you'll make up anything to not have that cognitive dissonance about like the person that I used to like is a bad guy. So
yeah,
and we see that in much more important realms than sports. So it's not really a surprise. It's just depressing.
I guess the question I've got too is, I mean, something Brian said just sort of piqued my curiosity about this. Why exactly are they apologizing to, I'm sorry that we're in this situation? Well, if he's apologizing to the Buckeye Nation, I mean, why?
I agree. He got his head coach suspended for three games. You know, you think that affects Buckeye Nation? I mean, it's all about.
But again,
how do you not fire your head coach?
Well, see, but I think here's what Craig. I hear you, and I concur. He's saying, well, why are they apologizing? Why did they suspend him in the first place? Who are you appeasing? You don't have to appease any recruits. You don't have to appease Buckeye Nation.
Yeah, I don't know if
those are the only ones that you care about. At least I don't think you have to appease any recruits. Doesn't seem that way so far. So we will find out. I mean, there's still some big recruiting battles they're in. Some guys that they supposedly lead for. If they don't get those guys, it'd be interesting to kind of dig into whether or not this played a role in those guys not going there if they don't go there.
I mean, they won't say that, which is disappointing.
Publicly, they might not, but be interesting to see if you can dig that up behind the scenes.
They should say that. If you are deciding that you don't want to go to Ohio State because of this, you know, I think you should say that out loud. Mm-hmm. But nobody, there's all this, like, you have Will Muschamp talking about how anonymous sources are bad after the Durkin thing. Well, like, there's just this code of silence. The code of silence is there because the NCAA has created this culture of ignoring rules so you can get money.
But that's not the only reason why. I mean, another reason why is if a kid or his parent were to go public, can you imagine the barrage of insults and threats they would receive from Ohio State people?
Well, and that is unfortunate. Nobody else has any power in a situation to actually impose a consequence. It's really frustrating to me because, like, you know, Michigan hasn't been beating Michigan State and Ohio State, and these are loathsome institutions. And they face no consequences for being loathsome institutions as long as they win football games. And, I mean, what are you going to do? I feel like, you know, that scene in The Lord of the Rings, when the guy's like at the battlements and he's like, "What can men do against such reckless hate?" That's how I feel. I feel like that guy.
What you do is, and I talked about this earlier in the show. It has to be about your standard and not how others react to it, or the others follow it. Your standard is your standard.
It should be, but it's not.
And you gotta be content with the standard being the most important thing. Like that's more important. Not to say that winning games isn't important. I want to be clear in saying that winning is absolutely important. But if you got to choose between the two, what are you going to place on a higher plane? Is it going to be winning or integrity? What ways? And I'm not saying that they're mutually exclusive, that you can't have both. You can, but if the choice is between being Ohio State and being Michigan, what would you be?
I would be Michigan, but I would like to win some football games.
I understand.
I get frustrated when this kind of stuff comes out and it's like the consequences are none. Let's keep going.
Well, just remember, not to say that you accept losing, not to say that you are okay with not beating Ohio State. But when you look at their success relative to Michigan's, not giving Michigan a pass, but I mean, you should qualify when you look at Ohio State how they're achieving what they're achieving.
Sure.
The compromises that they're making in order to do that.
Sure. And that doesn't change the fact that every home game against Ohio State, a third of that stadium is Ohio State fans. And it's a miserable experience. And mm-hmm. that's just the way it is.
And again, I am not saying that losing to Ohio State is okay and acceptable and don't need to win that game, should win that game, can win that game. All right.
Well, it's just tough when you're playing an institution with no shame and no boundaries who will do anything.
But here's the thing that's so mystifying to me. I mean, maybe
hold that thought, Craig. Hold that thought. I'll give you the floor when we return on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTK.com, Immigo Blog Roundtable. So, Craig, let me let you finish your thought. You have the floor.
Thanks. I grew up in Ohio, and when I came out of high school, at that time, I believe if you got a high school degree, you were automatically accepted if you applied, you were automatically accepted to Ohio State University. And there's something quite, I think, honorable about that as a sort of from a governmental point of view. But, you know, it also meant that if you were a really good student coming out of high school, Ohio State generally in Ohio wasn't your first choice. You're trying to get into Miami of Ohio, which was a much more selective school, or some other school. And over the years, that's changed. Ohio State, you know, had improved its academic reputation by quite a degree, particularly in the graduate schools. Their law school is considered quite good. Their medical school is excellent. And so it had over the years improved. And so in terms of its perception as an academic institution. And I don't really get why they would want to jeopardize this, to protect almost nothing. Because the truth is, if they came out and said, look, we just don't want this stuff going on at Ohio State, nationally people would applaud. They'd sit up and pay attention to what's going on there from an academic point of view. And they'd still win football games. I don't care who they hired. They could find someone there who would win football games and win a lot of them. And so I to me, being sorry they're in this situation, it seems like this is a place where you could have, made a bad thing beneficial to Ohio State, and say, you know, they've taken a political stand against domestic violence, made people sit up nationally saying we're firing a really, really good coach because he is, but we'll get a good coach in here and we're still going to win games. And, yet they've gone in a completely different direction where people roll their eyes now when, except for the Buckeye Nation, anybody else in the country who follows football will just roll their eyes when they hear the OSU. So I don't get it. It seems like an incredibly dopey way to handle the whole thing, but it, I guess that's the course they've chosen. That's the path they've chosen. I'm done.
All right. Let's go to the phones real quick. Talk to Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, what's up?
I am freaking pumped that we are 9 freaking days till the start of Touchdown freaking Michigan. I just want to say, too, I'm really proud of Michigan, just that on and off the court and off the field. But for how they've handled everything, both on the field and off the court, I'm really proud. I got to give us big props to that. And go blue, win or lose, I'll hang up and listen. Go blue.
Thanks a lot for the call there, Jake. Appreciate it. So you haven't read the report yet, Ed. I advise you to do so, and you'll see a litany of issues with Zach Smith above and beyond the more serious transgressions that we're talking about. Everything from operating a vehicle while impaired, going to a strip club with high school coaches on a recruiting trip, running up bills and then not being able to pay them, not necessarily at a strip club, but you know, they
pay your bills at a strip club.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there are consequences and repercussions for that.
I've seen
this in movies.
Right, right. But there were other examples of issues. They talked about how he truancy, you know, claiming that he was making recruiting trips that he didn't make. I mean, there are all kinds of things. It got to the point
how
where
how long was he on the staff?
From the beginning.
I mean, that seems unbelievable.
It seems unbelievable that like Ohio State is good at football when this is going on. Like,
I mean, you're limited in your coaching staff, and if you have a lame duck on it,
right.
it doesn't seem
the receivers have been like very, very disappointing for the duration of Smith's career.
But he's like the recruiting coordinator too. And they're not they're not failing in that category.
I don't think that. I mean, it's clear that they're just getting more money. I mean, they have a lot of resources, and they're probably just paying people. I mean, that's just the way it works.
He went to a drug treatment. He was admitted to a drug treatment center. I mean, he's had all kinds of issues.
I'd like Michigan to just be like, all right, we're just going to pay people. If you want to kick us out of the NCAA now, whatever. Like, this is a deep
back to what I said, though. Your standard has to be your standard.
I think your standard should be like, we pay people for doing work. That should be your standard. You do work for us, we pay you.
No. If that's the NCAA standard, that's fine. But it isn't. And so I think Michigan should say, no, we're following the rules.
I think they should publicly say it. We think these rules are immoral. We're not going to follow them anymore. If you'd like to kick us out of the NCAA, go ahead.
I think you could say.
I mean, it's never going to happen. I'm not saying there's a realistic proposal. But that's what A.D. Bryant would do. He'd be like, fine. We have a lot of money that we haven't been using to do this stuff, and it's stupid. So we're gonna use it to do this stuff. And if you want to destroy your television contract because of it, well, that's fine. Bye.
Yeah, you definitely have to show some moral resolve. There's no doubt. In the face of, like you said, it's frustrating. But that's why it has to be a personal thing. You can't look for the external, you know, affirmation of because you aren't gonna get it. You clearly aren't gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, but you know what? When we get back next week, guess what we'll be talking about? Not Ohio State.
Football.
We'll be talking about football.
Are you sure
we're
not going to be talking about Ohio State?
We can hope.
I don't know if you can guarantee that, Sam.
Honestly, I don't.
There's no guarantee.
We should probably talk about a football game.
I mean, what else could we say? What else could they do?
I don't know. This is really
Sam, a week is a long time. It's a long time.
We should talk about Notre Dame.
Hopefully, we'll be talking about Notre Dame next week this time. I anticipate we will.